And we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. We have a couple of radio announcements this morning. First is Saturday, April 9th at 10 a.m. We will be hosting an Easter egg hunt here at the church. Again, the address is 333 South Chestnut Street. Ages from 0 to 12 are welcome. Please join us for lots of fun. And then on Sunday, April 10th from 4 to 7 p.m., Trinity United Methodist Church is hosting an event for children and their families. This event is called Rise Up for Jesus. Join us on our high-flying Easter adventure as we celebrate that Jesus is alive. During this interactive program, kids and grown-ups alike will experience loads of memorable Easter fun and excitement, all while they discover the true events surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. Families will explore the wonderful puzzle of Easter at each station through challenging games, unique experiences, and fun gizmos designed to remind families that Jesus is alive.
And now we have a special from our marvelous choir. This is the day. And a little bird told me it was somebody's favorite song. And our scripture reading today is Philippians 3, 4 through 14. The message is Seasons of Beginnings.
Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain the resurrection from the dead, pressing on towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Can't you just hear the longing in the Apostle Paul's voice? He wants more than anything to count all the old as loss, to move forward, to be part of the resurrection. And if that means being part of Christ's suffering, so be it. He wants the power of the resurrection. He wants a new beginning in Christ Jesus. Tangerine peels and coffee grounds, peanut shells and daffodil flowers, exhausted green pepper and tomato plants, grass clippings, clumps, and brown leaves from a sycamore tree. All of these begin a new beginning as well as a compost pile. A compost pile is a gathering of discarded living matter that has lost its usefulness, its flavor, and its purpose. With a layer of micro-rich soil and just a measure of farm manure and a little moisture, the pile's cooking and blending season begins. As each ingredient loses its own identity, the compost pile shrinks until the tangerine peelings, the grass clippings, and the used up plants have all become a micro-rich, uniformly textured, black, soil-like substance. The finished compost is ready to begin its next season of life as now a high-energy nourishment for a new crop of garden plants. Lent is a season for gathering up discarded whatever has lost its usefulness, its flavor, and its purpose in our lives. My friend Jan was visiting here this past week, and she told our Bible study that they were doing a Bible study through Lent that had them letting go of things that no longer serve us. Anger, bitterness, grudges, resentment, pride, anything that no longer served us. Maybe even good things that no longer serve us now at this time. Maybe things such as previous loss that has weighed us down. That we might become willing to look at it. Maybe we're not quite ready to let it go yet. But can we put it in our pocket? Can we stick it up on a shelf and move forward, knowing that at some point we will be ready to let go of that loss? We will pull it out. We will look at it again one more time, and we will let go of that loss. The Japanese begin each and every New Year with an immaculately clean house. You know, once upon a time in this country, before we ran out of time for everything, we used to begin autumn and spring with an immaculately clean house. Who here remembers spring cleaning? I remember spring cleaning my Nana's house. We took down all the pictures, and we wiped down the glass on the picture frame, and we cleaned or dusted the outside of the frame. We cleaned the baseboards. We cleaned with a toothbrush the little corners of the linoleum. That house was spick and span. When it came for spring cleaning, we had every single part of it done. I once knew a woman who knew when she had too much emotional baggage going on, and she knew in a very strange way. She got a sudden urge to clean her closets. I don't know about the rest of you, but I get no sudden urges to clean my closets. I'm like, if it fits in there and I could push it back and shut the door real quick, I'm good. But she knew that it was time to get rid of emotional baggage every time she felt like cleaning one of her closets. Lent is a season for souls' house cleaning. Lent is a season to begin such letting go. Dee spent 9 months and many, many, many tearful nights before she could finally release leader dog Dolly. After a decade of service, the letting go began with the arthritic dog retirement from active work. Strolling through their yard one day, traveling together on a sunny afternoon, Dee removed the dog's work harness and lengthened the off-duty leash and told Dolly, go find a sunny spot in the grass. And it amazes me how well this dog always understood her master. And she ran right to a sunny spot in the grass, and she just stood there. And her master told her, now, roll in it, play in it. The dog got down, scratched its back on the soft turf, rolled around, and Dee told Dolly, Dolly, this is retirement. So every day, when the pair got home from work, Dolly nudged her master just a little bit closer to that nice, soft, sunny spot. And retirement began. In order not to break the dog's heart, Dee began with the new dog and turning the care of Dolly slowly over to her husband. The new dog team worked together, and they would take Dolly on her off-duty leash, and they would go for slow, short walks. And then, as the days lengthened and Dolly could handle being separated from her master began telling her, it's okay. I'm okay now. I have my cane. You go. You take a few minutes off. And she would take her mobility cane and walk down to the end of the driveway, checking the mail. And soon it lengthened to where she could be gone 3 hours without Dolly freaking out. Dolly had the opportunity to be a regular dog, to lay as long as she wanted in the sunlight or to crawl underneath the shade of the green cart out in their yard. And the new team began working together. And then it came time. It came time for Dolly's final walk to the veterinarian. And Dee put her work harness on her. Dolly poked her nose through, barely able to walk, in so much pain, but so much joy for the job that she had once loved so well. And she guided her master to the veterinarian where she was put down. Lent is a season for negotiating necessary transitions. Lent is a season for beginning to say goodbyes that will enable us to speak a hello with a grateful heart. A young boy would accompany his father every Saturday night to see the sunset on Lake Michigan. And as child and parent sat there watching the clouds, looking for any twinge of color change, the boy says, where does the sun go when it goes over on the other side of the water? And the father told him, it goes to another place to begin a new day for them. What is over on the other side of Lake Michigan? An island, a beautiful island. Lent is a season for pondering the mystery of life here and the mystery of life hereafter. Even though we can neither see nor define it, We can mature our trust that there will indeed be a life hereafter. This is the season that we now invite ourselves to touch into the area of the unknown. Lent is a story about death and endings. Lent is a story about life and beginnings, the journey towards death and new life planted within us from the beginning. Whether we admit it or not, perhaps we all become just a little preoccupied at times. Is that why we yearn for Easter? During Lent, we run our uncertainties, our curiosity, our dying, our perspective on loss, and our hope through the filter of Easter. After all, what can compare to the resurrection, and what can compare to the knowledge that we too will have life eternal with our Lord and Master? Yes, there is pain in this life. Yes, there are questions left unanswered. Yes, there are stumbling blocks, and yes, there are deaths of loved ones, all painful. But what can compare to the story of the resurrection, and what can compare to us knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt as Christians that we will live our life in glory with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul appears to understand the struggle of letting go. Listen to the tension as he speaks to the leaders of the Philippine church. Actualizing goals that have been set is hard work indeed. I'm sure all of you know that. Admitting that he himself also by no means is perfect in accomplishing his goals, Paul says, "The one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." We can hear the intensity in the Apostle Paul's voice as he speaks of pressing on and straining forward towards the goal. Paul's personal goal is to know the power of Christ's resurrection. Paul seems at first to knock himself down for his inability to become like Jesus in his death, as Paul wants. Paul minimizes his own efforts. "Yet whatever gain I had," he said, "these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ Jesus." Listen to the private longing in your own heart as it echoes the depth of yearning and passion. In Paul's wistful confession, Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in death." How immediately he draws us all in. We know such feelings. We too are imperfect and very human beings. What is a productive way to share Christ's suffering today? How can we get closer to Christ by becoming like him in his death? Some Christians take on a symbolic suffering during Lent. It's usually the giving up of sweets or meats, some weak imitation of sacrifice. When things are going well, death matters usually are far removed from our mind. On the other hand, we each carry our own bag of sorrows that we wish were a sieve and all the sorrows would drain out. But all is not always well. The "will it ever end" kind of great suffering that some people know. These people live in a concentration camp of spiritual or physical cancers, and they need not practice. any imitation of suffering through the Lenten season, for their suffering is great enough. When we think of all the sacrifice of 9/11, when we think of a September Philadelphia flight making a token sacrifice seems rather petty. Too much real stuff of suffering that life circumstances have forced upon us. No, rather we long for healing and not more trouble. Rather, let us try to take on a new goal of living quality during the final weeks of this Lenten season, giving up things that no longer serve us, giving up our pettiness, giving up our pride, giving up our right to demand that our differences between one another are better still than the other. Paul tells us to forget about the past, to let go of the past, to move forward. We can refine the meaning of the present day practices of Lent by asking ourselves several questions. What part of the past do we wish to carry with us as we cherish it? Are there parts of your past that you just cherish? Memories of your children, memories of your grandchildren, memories of someone now gone that you have loved dearly. How do we determine what we need to leave behind? That is for each one of us and our Lord and Master to decide. Can we leave behind what is unfinished? And if we cannot leave it behind, can we decide to carry what is unfinished in a pocket or put it up on a shelf, knowing that someday our Lord and Master will prepare us and we will be ready to pull it down off the shelf, to take it out of our pocket, to take a good look at it one last time, and to let go of it. Are we willing to risk taking steps towards forgetting what is finished on the chance that we might move forward to what lies ahead with greater enthusiasm rather than strain? Lent is a season for gathering up and discarding whatever has lost its youthfulness, its flavor, and its purpose in our lives with the energy and strength we have gained from this fruitful season. Let us try letting go. Let us try developing new patterns during Lent. Let us remember that we cannot do any of it without our Lord and Savior. I know that I need Him very much.